Hey everybody, welcome back. We're going to watch another couple episodes of the Berenstain Bears from 1985. But before we begin, yes, to answer your question, yes, things are still terrible in Minnesota. Yes, things are getting even worse across the country. Yes, the rest of the world thinks we're a laughingstock. If you want to support the efforts of the community members, the people who need assistance here in the Twin Cities area, you can go to standwithminnesota.com. There's a ton of different links. Or you can go to a link I'm going to provide in the description of this episode to specifically help out the families in our immediate area, because there's a lot of ICE presence there. So we got Stand With Minnesota, and then I'll provide the link to the GoFundMe to help families with rent, food, supplies, everything. There's a lot of people out there who are afraid to leave their house, but I know that people will step up and help out. So without further ado, let's get into the Berenstain Bears. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week, I already told you what we're doing. We're watching two episodes of the 1985 Berenstain Bear show, but what makes these, well, it's, okay, there are two episodes within an episode, just so you know at home, there's one episode that aired in a 30-minute block that consisted of two separate Berenstain Bears. You should have figured this out by now, but just in case, it's two episodes within an episode, and it's the final segments, the final episode and episodes of season one. We've got the Berenstain Bears in the dark, which if you're like, is that the same in the, yes, it's the same in the dark. And we've got the Berenstain Bears Ring the Bell, a story you've never heard of, but that continues or completes. I can't remember if it continues or completes the Wild Wild Honey saga. That's right. Papa Bear's weird relationship with the Queen of the Bees continues in the Berenstain Bears Ring the Bell. So I've already got my headphones on. I've already got my award-winning smile. I've shaven my beard, so that's less to look at if you're watching along at home. I got my bucket of popped corn. I've got my sippity soda. I don't know what I'm talking about. We're gonna go watch the movie. Got my ticket. Oh, thank you for taking my the stub. Why, thank you. Here we go into the theaters. That's the sound of me walking into the theater. Here we go. And we're back. We're back. We just watched two episodes of the 1985 The Berenstain Bears, the final episode of season one. We watched In the Dark and Ring the Bell. And boy, oh boy, were they two phenomenal episodes. Sorry, I don't know why I'm talking like that. They were good. They were really good episodes. In the Dark was, if you don't remember what the book was about. Because the episode was exactly the book. Brother and sister go to the library. Brother likes to check out spooky books, and sister likes to check out more, I guess, pastoral books, books about nature, books with kittens and ducks and flowers. And brother's ragging on her about only ever wanting to read wimpy books, and she's ragging on him about thinking he's so tough because he reads spooky books. So he ends up picking out a mystery novel called the Whistling Cave. She gets some book about little kittens. And they both go home to read. She gets immediately bored by her book, while brother gets immediately spooked by his book. She sits down next to him and asks what it's about. About three bear cubs who get lost in a cave in which there is a terrifying moan that goes, ooh. Now, bear in mind, this book is like 500 pages long. I don't know how it supports headcanon. I'm going to guess that it's called, The Spooky Cave, The Mystery of the Spooky Cave, and Other Stories. Let's just say that, because this is, a 20-page story tops. So they go to the cave, and it's very spooky. It has a lot of vivid descriptions of how spooky it is. Sister can't sleep that night, and she starts keeping brother up all night. She's having nightmares about the spooky book. Brother ends up getting in kind of hot water with Mama and Papa for scaring sister. She wants to sleep with the light on. Brother can't sleep with the light on. finally, Papa kind of like clears things up, and he explains to Sister that it's just her imagination, that imaginations are good things to have, but we can let our imaginations run away with us. So you got to remember this stuff's all fiction, but until you can get that through your little head, Sister, here's a nightlight. And he pulls out this really cool, like, Berenstain Bears treehouse nightlight, which I wish they would manufacture. It's kind of like a chunky little tree. Brother finally is just like, hey, Sister, you want to know how that book ends? They found out that the cave actually wasn't haunted. It was the sound of wind blowing across an opening at the top of the cave, like you're blowing across a bottle, making the sound. And Sister's actually disappointed. She's like, I wish it was really something spooky and not like a scientific explanation. Brother's like, yeah. But then that night, Brother has trouble sleeping. Wah, wah, wah. Because of the spookiness of the book, because he's actually spooked out by his books. So that's the story, more or less. It's about Sister being afraid of the dark. And this episode, it basically just takes the book and puts it on the screen. But what it really does that's very cool is it actually animates the book Sister gets, the Boring Kittens book, and it animates the Spooky Cave book. Whereas in the original storybook, you got illustrations from those books. But this really did a good job. The kittens in the kitten book look like the kittens from the Aristocats, if you're familiar at all with the Aristocats. It's funny, and I'm wondering if that was a direct reference or if it's just you put bows on a kitten, it's going to look like one of the kittens from the Aristocats. And then the mystery of the Spooky Cave, it had kind of a more simplistic feel to the animation. It looked like something you would see on a Saturday morning cartoon show. I don't know. I liked it. There's really nothing to add about it except that the book and the episode, I remember vividly watching the episode when it first aired. And I'm learning now that the stories that stuck with me a lot are probably the ones that I saw animated on Saturday morning. I remember watching it. I remember the Spooky Cave animated like segment. And I remember, and I still am, being disappointed along with Sister that the Spooky Cave was actually scientifically explained away. I was always upset, not upset, but I was always, I felt a little cheated whenever Scooby-Doo would get around to the mystery being solved and it was always somebody in a mask. When I was a kid, I liked, I wasn't a big fan of horror, but I liked mildly spooky things. And I always wanted Scooby-Doo to face off against real ghosts. And then, of course, I saw the episodes where he did and missed them being actual criminal mysteries because they never pulled that off very well. But so I empathized with Sister. Like, there's just some dumb explanation for it. I was hoping it would be something more fun. But then we get to Ring the Bell. Berenstain Bears Ring the Bell, which is phenomenal in a lot of ways. First, it carries over the Wild Wild Honey. We get the queen bee. We get her chief of police, I guess he is, like a chief of police bee. We get that. We get a too tall grizzly subplot. And then we get just sort of Papa being useless plot. So Papa is the big Bear Country Fair is coming up, and Papa wants to enter his 6 flavored honey. He has this honey that is sort of a blend of different honeys. And then one of the main ingredients is, of course, the Wild Wild Honey. So he's going to attempt to acquire the honey from the queen. Meanwhile, Sister's doing a nature project and Brother's doing an aerodynamics project. It really doesn't come into play very much. But while they're out in nature looking for the honey and looking for leaves and stuff, they encounter Too Tall Grizzly, who starts bragging about his dad. And Brother gets really defensive of his own father. And it's like, yeah, well, my dad's stronger than your dad. He can beat your dad at anything. And he's like, and Too Tall's like, well, my dad's going to enter the strongest bear competition at the fair. Why don't your dad do it? And Brother's like, he'll do it and he'll beat your father. And of course, then they have to go home and tell Papa, we entered you. We in standing up for you, I may have inadvertently led to your humiliation. Now, I got excited because I was like, wait a minute. Does this mean we're going to meet Two-Ton Grizzly? Is Two-Ton Grizzly, Too Tall's father, going to show up? And if he does, what's he going to be like? Because if you remember in the Saturday morning show, Too Tall Grizzly does not look like Too Tall does in the book. He is a taller, lankier bear wearing a ball cap and just sort of like regular modern school clothes. And he talks, yeah, it's kind of like high voice. And he's got this perpetual like grin on his face. He's a very nasty, off-putting character, and we love him. And to answer the question, to come right out, yes, we do meet. He is named Two-Ton Grizzly, and shockingly, he looks a lot like Two-Ton in the books. He's got actually he's got overalls and like the sort of like old-timey cap like Two-Tall wears in the books. So except he's like all kind of just like all in red, but
he also talks in this like really like terrible Saturday morning villain voice, which is funny because unlike the Two-Ton in the books, this Two-Ton is just a brute. He's just a brute. He has this like incredibly bizarre, scratchy, gruff voice, and he's just a strong, violent bear. Unlike the Two-Ton in the books, who is actually he's taciturn, but he's not unreasonable, and he's huge, but he's not violent. He's not nice. He's not a nice guy, but he's not a monster. So there's a lot of shenanigans with the bees. Papa ends up getting Wild Wild Honey from them, but they're going to exact their revenge. They enter the competition. Papa wins first prize for honey because his honey tastes great. And we find out that the other bees, like the clover bees and the lilac bees, the bees who go to different flowers, they have a council meeting to get back at Papa Bear because they're tired of him taking their honey. And that's why the queen is like, all right, you know, I'm the sovereign here, and we're going to get an army together. We're going to teach that Papa Bear once and for all. So Papa wins the competition. Mama wins a ribbon. Sister wins a ribbon. Brother wins a ribbon. Maybe Mama does. I can't remember. Sister and brother win ribbons. And now it's time for the strongest bear competition. So Two-Ton goes out and he immediately scores strongest bear. He hits, ring the bell. Like the test, come on up, hurry, 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 and test your strength, ring the bell and be the strongest man in the world. So Two-Ton immediately, bang, he clangs the bell. Papa steps up to do it, knowing he can't win, but he's going to give it the old college try. At the same time, the bees are attacking. So he gets attacked by bees. That somehow results in him hitting the thing so hard that the bell gets knocked off and he wins strongest bear. I don't think that's how it works. I don't think a sudden extreme injury is going to result in you being stronger somehow. Like maybe it would cause him to drop the hammer or fall or trip over the thing. But I didn't think... I think that, I don't know, the lesson here is unclear. Because, hey, Papa wasn't at fault. Like, Papa didn't set himself up for this. I guess he could have, like, politely bowed out, but he was trying to save face. I thought it would have been nice if he maybe hadn't rung the bell. But again, the first episode is the lesson. The second episode is always kind of the slapsticky Saturday morning one. So forgiveness is granted to Stan and Jan Berenstain for not turning the Berenstain Bears ring the bell into the emotionally cathartic plot that I was hoping it would be. These are both wonderful, delightful episodes. I enjoyed watching them both. The animation's really good. I really like watching Two-Tall. I think the Saturday Morning Two-Tall is the funniest, weirdest adaptation of the characters on screen. He just does not come across as Two-Tall Grizzly. He doesn't have Scuzz, Smirk, and Vinny. He's just that weird mishmash of all of the bullies put together. He is his own gang of misfits. But I enjoyed the extension of the world Two-Ton. I liked the lesson in the first one. I love the adaptation in the first one. I think it might actually be a little stronger than the original book, just because you get to see stuff play out the way it does. I like watching brother be a little bit of a jerk to his sister and get threatened with a beating. He gets threatened with a beating by Papa Bear. I think Papa says something like, oh, you keep it up and that ooh is going to end up being ow, ow, ow. And I'm like, man, are you going to like break his bones? Like how is this going to be, Papa Bear? Going to hit you so hard. Kind of out of character to threaten your son with violence, but I appreciate it. Saturday morning, we all learned to laugh. And then Pee-wee Herman came on a little after that. Or maybe Teen Wolf, the cartoon. So that was the Berenstain Bears in the Dark and the Berenstain Bears Ring the Bell. Am I going to jump right into season two? I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Don't forgive.
don't forgive, and don't forget. Now, don't forget, if you want to give to any of the organizations listed in the Stand With Minnesota link. Otherwise, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for everyone who's given. We really appreciate it. And I will see you next week, next time, this exact same face,
deep in bear country.